out and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I think over the last day or so, I've been asked at least a dozen times if I was ready for Christmas. And I'm sure, like most of you, the first thing that comes to mind when you get asked that question is all the stuff you have to do, all the shopping and wrapping your presents and cooking and decorating. But of course, here today, as we approach Christmas in this last week, the more deeper meaning of that, getting ready, is a little different. And I was a teacher that had a group of six-year-olds that she asked to tell the story of the birth of Jesus. The teacher wanted them to act this out themselves and to develop their own script. So they got together and they emerged. They had three Marys, two Josephs, six shepherds, three wise guys, and one little fellow who insisted on being a cow. And then one of the shepherds asked if he could also be the doctor who would deliver the baby. And the teacher agreed. So the little shepherd doctor went behind the manger, picked up the doll, and carefully wrapped it in a blanket. And then with a big smile on his face, he turned to the Marys and to the Josephs and proudly announced, "Congratulations, it's a God." I think truer words were never spoken. Even six-year-olds get excited about babies. And from the youngest of us to the oldest, we all love those little infants. When a baby's around, we kind of get excited. And we start acting kind of goofy and talking in strange kind of ways. Even the most stern adults are affected by babies. We hug them tightly. We cuddle them. We wipe away their tears. And we stare into those sweet round faces, just hoping for a smile. And when the corners of that tiny mouth turn up and those tiny dimples appear, it seems like that little smile lights up the whole room. For indeed it does. And we see that all is good and all that is wonderful because of those sweet, angelic little faces. We feel an indescribable joy in our hearts, and at least for the few moments there with that infant, it changes us. And if we get that emotional excited over any baby, we should be ecstatic over the birth of baby Jesus. For as our little shepherd doctor just said, this baby is our God. And for over 2,000 years, this baby has changed billions and billions of lives. This baby has the power to bring peace and joy to all humanity, all the time. Moments ago, we heard the story of two babies still in the womb, and of two pregnant women preparing to have their lives changed dramatically by God's gift of life. Elizabeth was old, well beyond the normal age to have a child. And Mary, the opposite, very young. Scholars seem to think she was likely around 14. An unmarried virgin carrying a child that was the result of the most wondrous and amazing pregnancy of all time. But both women faced great difficulties in a place and time that had none of the comforts we know today. No hospitals, no medicines, no doctors. In fact, in those days, most babies didn't survive childbirth, nor did many mothers. Yet we hear in our gospel today how the two of them were bursting with excitement, so much so that the unborn John the Baptist was leaping for joy in his mother's womb. Now, unfortunately, if the scenario was happening today, I think there's no doubt that both of these women might feel pressured to consider an abortion or adoption. They'd be told having a baby would be too much for them, too much of a burden, and could even endanger their lives. But Elizabeth and Mary, they did not hesitate to celebrate their pregnancies. But they had what so many in our world today lack, for they had deep faith. They saw themselves as willing participants in God's plan. They didn't know or understand the whys or the hows of what was happening. They simply trusted God, but knew that He was at work in their lives. These two women humbly bowed to God's will. But what about us? Do we bow to God's will? Do we even realize that we're a part of His plan? Do we recognize where and how He might be working in our lives? Most of us think and act in ways that don't acknowledge that God has a plan for us at all. We think it's all about us, and when things go well, we pat ourselves on the back and congratulate ourselves, proud of what we've accomplished. When things go badly, we often tend to blame others, and sometimes we even blame God Himself. This past week, there's been much discussion from the many talking heads in the news as they try to explain why we had devastating tornadoes in December, why so many lives were lost, why so much destruction. And while some obviously are trying to make political points, there were even a few preachers out there who seemed to say that because so many had turned their backs on God, that we just should expect this type of thing, this type of carnage may come again. And while indeed there are many that seem to have turned away from God, or maybe I've just never known Him at all. As Catholics, we should know that regardless of how many people deny Christ, or even if we lack faith in our own hearts, God will never abandon His people. For He is Emmanuel. He's God with us, always with us. He is with us in the best of times and the worst of our sufferings, the worst of our sorrows. But while God is always with us, He's also blessed us with that gift that gives us so much trouble, that gift of free will. And that free will requires us to make a decision to welcome Him and prepare a place within our hearts for Him to dwell. And that preparation is what these 4 weeks of Advent are all about. When we can allow Him to abide in us, then we can feel the same joy and peace and excitement that Mary and Elizabeth felt so very long ago. And like them, we must allow ourselves to be used as instruments in His salvation. In just a very few days, Emmanuel will once more come to us as an infant baby boy. And as I just said, newborns have a way of opening our hearts. It's almost impossible not to be happy when you cradle a little one in your arms. But can you imagine the unbelievable and overwhelming peace and joy that those few people who were present at Christ's birth must have felt? Because God gave us the gift of His Son, that same joy and that same peace can be yours this Christmas. And even better news is that that same joy and peace can be yours every day or every week. For that beautiful baby, that infant Jesus, is available for you to hold and caress every time you come here to Mass. In just a few minutes, that baby, who's Christ our Lord, will once again become present right here on this very altar. The great St. John Chrysostom beautifully expressed it this way. He wrote, "You can call happy those who first saw Him, but come to the altar right here today, and you will see Him. You will touch Him. You will give to Him holy kisses. You will wash Him with your tears, and you will carry Him with you, just like His mother, Mary, most holy." So are we prepared to welcome baby Jesus into our hearts, into our souls? Will you allow yourself to be used as an instrument of His love? The smiling infant Son of God is reaching out to you. He's reaching out to all of us. Will you embrace Him and gather Him close to your heart? Listen closely He's calling out to you, calling out to all of us. My friends, you will know I'm not 6 years old, I'm not a shepherd, not a doctor, but today I'm announcing to each of you that in just a few days we will celebrate the birth of your God, your Lord and Savior. And in these last few days before Christmas, I pray that we can all find some quiet time to focus less on the shopping, the cooking, the wrapping of presents, the decorating, and more on that unbelievable gift our Heavenly Father gives to us. Emmanuel, God is with you. Prepare to receive the greatest gift of all time, which truly is the only gift that keeps on giving. So may the love, peace, and joy that is Christmas excite you as it did John the Baptist as he leapt in his mother's womb. And on that first Christmas so very long ago, there was no room in the inn. This Christmas, I pray that we can make room in our hearts, make room permanently, so that we can see Christmas as just not a day, just not a season, but as a way of life. As my friends, this little baby can change our lives forever.